Hello and welcome to DaddyLife.net podcast episode number 3. My name is Hank Osborne and I am so glad that you joined me today. The DaddyLife.net podcast is an extension of the DaddyLife.net website, and this podcast is intended to encourage, equip, and challenge dads to be the lovers of their wives and the examples to their children. It has been about a week and a half since the last episode of DaddyLife.net was released, and this week was delayed a bit due to my wife and I being involved in volunteering with the Growing Families International Family Conference that was held in Charleston, South Carolina. As I mentioned in the first episode when I told you a little bit about us, we live on the outskirts of Charleston, South Carolina, in a little town called Goose Creek, and we are active members in the Growing Families International Ministry, and the local team here in the Charleston area put together the conference this year and hosted the conference that was host to families from, I believe, 23 states and at least 5 countries. This conference is an alumni and leadership conference. It is. It was put together well over 20 years ago the first time, and its purpose is to encourage and equip people who've attended classes related to the Growing Families International material, with the staple of that being the Growing Kids God's Way class. It's an 18-week parenting class for parents of children 3 years and over. And that curriculum has changed our lives, our family, and changed our lives, how we parent, and for the better. And I can't say enough about it. We enjoy sharing the material with other parents, and we enjoy mentoring other parents as they become leaders in the curriculum. And being a part of volunteering for this conference was really special. We enjoyed it. We've attended upwards of at least 5 or 6 of these conferences, which are annual within the United States. They also have the conferences in Australia. I believe they may have had one at one point in New Zealand. But this was the first family conference in the United States. Australia has been doing family conferences for quite some time, but this was the first family conference for the Growing Families Ministry, in that parents were encouraged to bring their kids with them, and there was a full-blown children's program for children from basically 3 years of age through high school. There were nursery services for those children under age 3, but it was a very structured program for the children that were ages 3 and above, and the parents also got to attend what would be a normal conference type experience for them that they had experienced in the past. So it was just all around, it was a great experience for us as attendees of the conference and as volunteers. I made some new connections, new friends. I grew relationships with people that I already knew from around the country and locally, and it was just awesome. I think there were well over 600 people in attendance at this conference, and it was held at our local church here in the Charleston area, Seacoast Community Church, which is one of the fastest growing, most technologically advanced churches in the United States. So it was a great opportunity for me to be involved in the technical coordination for this. I didn't realize how complex the technical aspects of one of these conferences can be. I've helped in other conferences in the past at other churches, where we've been in Chicago and in Dallas and in Louisville, Kentucky. I've actually gone back and assisted in the booth a little bit with the technology at the Growing Families conferences in other cities. But in this venue, the Seacoast Church equipment and personnel are just at a level that is unsurpassed in terms of the complexity of their equipment and the professionalism and knowledge of the staff and volunteers that work on this stuff. So my job really in this conference was to coordinate understanding what the presenters needed on stage, getting volunteers to help make that happen, and arranging that, making sure that was augmenting and supporting the staff that was going to be available from the church. And it was really a great experience. I learned a lot, and I believe that it was a positive experience overall, which is what I hoped for from the technology side of it. And the guys that stepped up and volunteered, they were there early every day, they stayed late, and I just can't say enough about those guys. It was awesome. On a sad note, during the conference, my wife and I both received messages from friends that we had lost someone that we knew. My wife has a friend of hers who lives in a town near here who has who had a young son, 9 years old, special needs child, who had just been dealing with some severe medical issues since birth, came to a point a couple of weeks ago where the doctor staff that they were dealing with at the hospital where they were at basically told the parents that they felt like that it was time to say goodbye, because they felt like if they tried to have one more surgery on this child, they felt like that the parents might lose their opportunity to say goodbye. So they recommended the parents take the child home with hospice and spend some quality time with him in his last days. And that's what they ended up doing. And the child, the 9-year-old child, passed away on Wednesday. And while my wife and this mother were not as good of friends, as close, I guess, of friends today as they were back in high school, we have stayed connected as best we can via Facebook and things of that nature, and through other friends, and we follow each other's progress with us having a special needs child. It's odd how quite often we would end up in the hospital at the same time in different cities, and in the middle of the night be messaging each other back and forth. So we have a connection. I guess it's just not as much of a traditional friend connection where we spend a lot of time in each other's homes and out playing and eating together and fellowshipping in a traditional way. But it's just, I guess, the new age relationship based on a friendship that was traditional when they graduated high school. So, sad day for my wife and I there to hear that news. Our heart goes out to the family who is grieving the loss of this child. There's an older and a younger sibling in the household, and I can't imagine what it's like, and our hearts go out to them. And then on Friday, during the conference in the morning, I received a couple of phone calls that I missed because I couldn't take the call given the type of work I was doing at the time, and also got a couple of Facebook messages that were very vague, just told me that I needed to call as soon as I could. There was a message for me, and when the break came from the conference, I made the call and was notified that my best friend from college had died. When I say best friend from college, he was also the best man in my wedding 11 years ago. And he was the kind of guy that he would play down in front of a train for you. I mean, just a big heart, big teddy bear of a man. And I had lost touch with him for several years up until recently. Ricky and I, his name is Ricky Simmons, Ricky and I connected back via phone. We had not seen each other in person in a few years, but we'd been talking on the phone recently. He had found a videotape that he and his family had made of us in our wedding, just informally around the rehearsal and the actual wedding and the reception afterwards. He found this tape and he had it converted to a DVD, and he sent it to Sherry and I for our 11th wedding anniversary. So it was nice to reconnect with him in recent months, and it was, I won't say it was a complete shock to hear that he had died, because he was in really bad health, even at 47 years old, which is way too young to die. But I'm just coming back from his funeral and spending some time fellowshipping with the friends that we all hung out together back then. We met through the Phi Theta Kappa International Honor Society, which is the two-year college honor society for community college, technical college, and those kind of things. Phi Theta Kappa is the two-year college version of Phi Beta Kappa, if you're familiar with Phi Beta Kappa in the four-year university format. And actually, Phi Theta Kappa, as my understanding, is larger than Phi Beta Kappa. That is, that Phi Theta Kappa is, my understanding is that it's actually the largest honor society at the college level in the world. So it brought my wife and I together. That's how I met my wife, was through the Phi Theta Kappa International Honor Society. She was an officer in the local chapter at the Trident Technical College in Charleston, and I was an officer in the chapter in Greenwood, South Carolina at Piedmont Technical College. Ricky and I were friends there. He was an officer in the chapter, and Ricky helped me become the Ricky and Robin. Robin was also another friend who, the three of us were kind of a trio there at the Piedmont Technical College chapter of Phi Theta Kappa. Omega Chi it was. Still is. I don't know that it's as active as it was back then. But I was actually the first regional president for North and South Carolina. And I want to say at the time I represented it something like 67 colleges, chapters of Phi Theta Kappa within the North and South Carolina region. So it was a great experience. It brought me to my best friend at the time, Ricky, and introduced me to my wife, Sherry, and who is now my best friend, has been for many years, will be until death does us part. And I, like I said, just wanted to share with you that it's been an interesting week. While the conference was great, it came with some emotional lows in terms of the grief that was brought on by the loss of life that we were notified of. So enough of that. Let's get back to the daddylife.net reason, the reason why we're here. Let's get back to the daddylife.net core. We talked a little bit last week about video game consoles, online gaming, buying video games, and things like that. Please do not let that subject slip under the radar screen with you. That is a very important subject. It is a technology that must be managed properly if you're going to have it in your home. And I just want to, just can't emphasize enough how important it is that you understand that technology enough to be able to implement parental controls, and that you manage the rating of the games that your children buy. On another note, moving on to other types of technology, I'm frequently asked, and I was even asked during this conference this week, how do I deal with the internet? I've got a, let's just say, a 10-year-old child. I'll have a father come up to me like I had this week. I've got a 10-year-old child, and I want him to be able to use the internet to get the things that I trust him to visit, but I want to keep him from getting to things that are inappropriate, even by accident. I think most parents have a sense of what is on the internet that is bad, and those things they don't want their 10-year-old child being exposed to, things such as pornography and hate sites and violence and disturbing negative news that you wouldn't let them watch on TV, that you can get the online version of the video. So this is a legitimate concern, and the father asked me how to deal with it. And I will say that I've said this before on the DaddyLife.net blog post that I've written about internet filters and securing your computers. I'm going to caveat everything I say every time I bring these kind of subjects up, that content filters, and I have some favorites. I'm not going to get into naming any of them today. I'm going to try my best to focus an entire episode on internet filters, what I like, what I don't like, and give you some pointers on how to find a good internet filter. But the thing is that internet filters are just a tool. They are not perfect. They don't catch everything. And I recommend that when you do implement a filter system, a content filter, is that you implement it in a way, for the young children especially, you implement it in a way to where it blocks everything except explicitly what you want to allow. What that will do is that when the child goes to the internet and they try to go to pbs.org, which is the public broadcasting service website where they can watch little clips of Curious George and Dora the Explorer and other things that PBS offers, if they mistype a character in the URL, or if they add an extra character or whatever, or if they happen to open up an email client and there's links in it, they don't accidentally end up on content that you don't want them to. So having a content filtering tool, something that will allow you to control where your children go in a web browser, is important. The thing to look for with a content filtering software, whether it's software or hardware, because there are tools you can put on your home internet connection that will actually control it at the hardware level, like at the router or firewall level for cable and DSL. The thing to realize is the point I was trying to get to, is these tools are not perfect. It's kind of like the lock on your door. You can put deadbolts on your doors, and you can put the greatest security tools for preventing people from getting into your house, but the windows are made of glass. If someone wants in your house, they can break a window and they can come right in. Or in the extreme cases, I've heard, and this is not to scare you or strike fear in you, but most houses today are made of plastic siding and 2x4 walls with a little insulation between them and a piece of sheetrock covering them on the inside. An inexpensive chainsaw from your local hardware store will cut a hole in the side of most of these houses in a matter of seconds. Okay, yes, it'll wake the neighbors up and the burbs if you're out on vacation and someone does that to your house. But I'm saying that to make a point. I've heard of homes in rural communities where people have gone up and cut holes in the side of the house and tipped a gun safe over into the back of a pickup truck and taken it somewhere where they can break into it later while the family was on vacation, and the house is off the road a quarter of a mile away from anyone else, and the family didn't know anything had happened until they come back home from their vacation. So what I'm really trying to say is locks are for honest people. Internet filtering software is for, it's a protective mechanism. It's an insulator for a child that you have a trust relationship with, because there are ways around them. There are numerous ways around them that I'll share with you in the future. And to prevent your child from getting around things, it would require that you hire a guard to follow them around, because if they have access to their friends, it's just as simple as that. If they have access to their friend's computer or the neighbor's computer or grandma's computer who doesn't have the software on, then they can get to anything on the internet without any controls or restrictions. So just be aware that the internet filtering software is a tool, and you must rely on it as something to enhance and to help keep your kids out of trouble where you've already established a good, solid relationship with them of trust, that if they do end up in a situation where they see something that scares them or concerns them, that they have a relationship with you that is such that they will want to come to you and discuss these things before they would want to go to their peers. Because depending on the environment that your children are in during an average day, the peers may actually encourage your child to go the opposite direction from the way that you would desire that they go in relation to the internet. So just be aware of that. And be aware that not all filter software is equal, and none of it is perfect and does everything that everyone wants done to protect children from harm or danger on the internet. So I hope that was helpful, and I know it was vague, but I want to dedicate an episode to this subject in the future. And lastly, just as a quick note, I'll give you an update on Caden, our 6.5-year-old. Caden is doing well. He's recovering. We believe he's going to be off oxygen here in the next day or so. He actually had a fall this week with Sherry while we were out at the South Carolina Aquarium during one of our break times at the conference. And we believe it may have damaged one of the rods in his back that helps keep his back straight. So these rods are fairly thin, and we haven't had any experience with them being bent or broken or knocked out of place, but we believe that one may be either broken or bent out of place, but it's not creating him in any significant pain. He complains verbally about it, but his actions are not in line with, he's not showing signs that this is slowing him down. He's still running and playing and getting up and down from the floor and walking up and down the stairs unassisted. So, not grunting or anything while he's doing it. He just finds himself in positions, laying on the floor or something, where he needs help getting up from certain positions because of the pain in his back. So he's going to see an orthopedic surgeon tomorrow to see if we need to have anything repaired, if our suspicions are correct, because without an x-ray you really can't tell for sure if things are out of place or if they've been bent, or if it's bent enough to require surgical intervention. So I'll have an update on that next week. And that's all I have for you today, and I will be back with you here in a few days. It will not be as long until the next episode is released. because once again, I am going to try and stay on track with at least an episode per week. And hopefully next time I'll be a little more proactive in getting the episode out before I know I'm going to be away for a few days. So thanks again for joining me here at daddylife.net. And don't forget to stop by the website. There will be show notes there for the things that I've mentioned during this episode to help remind you in writing. If there's any links that I shared during the episodes, I will place them on the daddylife.net website in a blog post that matches the episode number 3 for this particular episode. So thanks again for joining me. I will talk to you next time. God bless you and have a great week.